Thank you. Thank you so much for your welcome. It's good to be with you on Mothering Sunday. Well, the passage that has been read for us is from Luke chapter 10 and the first few verses, the first 24 verses, a story of Jesus sending out 72 people. And the text, if you like, is "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And it's a story about Jesus sending out these 72 to bring in the harvest. And there's an application in that first sentence that I've said. It's harvest time, and there's a window for harvest, isn't there? Every October, I help a friend with his apple harvest. And if you wait till November, December, the apples have gone. You can be too early, you can be too late. It's a special window. And the harvest now, says the reading, is plentiful. The harvest is ripe, it's ready to go. And a physical harvest, but a spiritual harvest as well. It's talking about mission. That's the spiritual application. The harvest of souls, if you like. We don't hear that phrase very often these days, do we? A harvest of souls is plentiful. There's people out there wanting to be brought into the kingdom. And so it's our responsibility, our mission is to spread to tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord, to spread the good news. There is an urgency of it. But verse 2 of Luke chapter 10 tells us, not only is there an urgency, but there is a problem. Because although the harvest is waiting, the workers are few. There's few of us to do the reaping, if you like. But in reality, we are the workers. We are the ones called to tell out my soul. We are the ones, not because of a Baptist Union resolution that we've been looking at. We are the ones who've been called because Jesus says so. You are the workers. That's the reason why we go. And he gives two commands. He says, first of all, in verse 2, pray. And then in verse 3, go. That's all he says, pray and go. There's lots of verses, but let's just see how this applies. Because you might be sat there thinking, well, he's talking about mission today, and that's not my forte. That's not for me. That's for those who are keen, those who want to tell others. I'm happy. Mine's more of a personal religion that I have, but I'm not really interested in. Let me say the first point is this. You don't have to be a reverend. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to be sent. Because verse 1 of that reading says Jesus sent out 72 others. Others. These weren't the 12 apostles. These weren't the specially chosen ones, if you like. These weren't the professionals, the experts, those who've been with Jesus, learning on the job, watching and this. These were 72 others. That one word, others, that encourages me. I hope it encourages you this morning. You don't have to be an expert to answer the call to go on an errand for the Lord. We used to say Jesus doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. When he calls you, he will equip you. I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying don't go to Bible study. Don't neglect reading your Bible. Learn as much as you can, but you'll find in your witness, I say on the doorstep or in your witness, in the bus queue, in the supermarket queue, you will find Jesus will equip you. He'll give you the words to say. He will give you the words to say. Even if your answer is, I'm sorry, I don't really know the answer to that, but I'll go back and ask someone and I'll come back to you. I don't know at the minute. Like that man who John Newton inspired his hymn. He was a blind man. Jesus healed him. And they said, what's all this about? He said, I don't really know. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know the Greek of it or the Hebrew of it or how it happened. But I just don't know. I can't give you an explanation. But that's how it happened. I have a changed life. I have a friend who we just bumped into. I've not seen him for about 10 years. And this again was a fortnight ago, and we were just driving around, and we said, oh, there's Tim in Bristol, where we're in Nailsea. And he said, you know, Alan, he said, I remember, he goes to a different church, he said, I remember you saying, I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I still drink it. I still drink it. You don't have to know how it happens. I once was blind, but now I see. So you don't have to be a professional. 72 others. The second thing to point out from these verses is that the mission was clearly planned. Verse 1 says they went out two by two. It was an organized two by two where Jesus was about to, they were going to prepare the way for Jesus to come. So two by two. But what about a minister? What about a railway chaplain on his own? What about a MAF representative? Somebody on... What if when you go home today, you're out in the garden and the neighbour's pegging out the washing or something. Look over and say, oh, I see you. Where have you been? Have you been to church? What's all that about? And do you say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you because there must be two of us. Let me go home and get some. You can't. Life don't happen like that, does it? It doesn't happen like that. Jesus says, when you go and you find yourself on your own, you might think these things just happen. They're picked with a reason. I spend a lot of time. Someone said, I can tell you spend more time choosing the hymns than you do preparing your sermons. Yeah. But, you know, we've been singing the Lord's Myself. Why? Because I am with you. I am with you. There are two of you. You might be alone physically, but the Lord says, I am with you. I'm with you all the time, if you like. There are two of you. And they went to the places where he was about to go, verse 1. And it's not there, it's the books that tell us this. He was about to go east of the River Jordan. Not east the water Biddeford, but east the river, east the water Jordan, if you like. A place called, an area called Perea. He'd been to the north, he'd been to Galilee, Capernaum, he'd been to the west, Samaria, then he'd been down the south, Jerusalem, those sort of places. But the east was new territory. And he sent his workers out, these others, 72 others, into this virgin soil, if you like, into this unmissioned area. My friends, what are they building at the top of this hill? Houses that and a harvest field. Jesus sent them, and you know, we had to do the spade work, and it could mean befriending people, getting to know people. Well, we've come from the church, if you like. Here's a leaflet. We've got this event coming up. Oh, I see you've got children. Do you know we've got a Sunday school? We've got safeguarding in place. We've got we can look after the helping people. Next week is the Good Samaritan. Is that right, Jeff? It is the Good Samaritan. It is. I'm glad you said that because I could make something up about the Good Samaritan.
The opportunity to apologise. It will be my fault that Jen got the wrong.
Oh, well, there you are. You've been saved by Jeff then. You've also done me a favour, mate, by saying that. To be a Good Samaritan, to help when I needed a neighbour. Were you there? So you don't have to be a professional. It was clearly planned to virgin soil, virgin territory, to new places. Third thing he says is before you go, pray. That's what he says in verse 2. Before you go, pray. The harvest is plentiful. The Lord Jesus is with us. But we need to pray and ask for opportunities to be able to speak a word in season. I think I told you about in February. I was preaching in a church in Weston-super-Mare. We were preaching in a church in Weston because I was there. Jackie was playing, and Ben was 12.5% of the congregation. A small church. This side would. If that little church saw this many people in church, they'd say, wow, they'd say, Alan, you preach in some mighty pulpits. You know, we about eight of them and three of us one day, they're very small. But before we started, one of the women, Chris, she came to me and she said, you know, my daughter-in-law is not a believer. She doesn't believe. And in fact, she said, I will tell you, when she was a young girl, she was abused. Big time. And she said, last Saturday, We went to a family wedding and her abuser was there. First time she'd seen him. Her abuser. And as they were coming home in the car, she said, "You know, Mum," mother-in-law, "you know, Mum," she said, I don't believe anything, but she said, I've forgiven him. I've forgiven him." And as they were driving along, I don't know if it was a church poster or somebody had written on a bridge, and it said, "Jesus forgives." It must have been outside of a church. "Forgiveness, Jesus." And she said, "Wow." She said, "Look at," and it was the daughter-in-law who pointed it out. And Chris took hold of that. It would be grand to say, and she led her to the Lord. But pray for opportunities like that, you know, that you see something and take it. That could be God leading us and giving us the opportunity. You don't have to be an expert, but pray. However, it isn't a case of they all lived happily ever after, because our fourth point is verse 3. There is a warning. It's going to be tough. He says, "I'm going to send you out. You're going to be like lambs with wolves." It's going to be tough. It's not going to be every time you open your mouth, people are going to get converted and won for it. You're not going to be welcomed everywhere. You're not going to be treated royally. Although I shouldn't say treated royally, should I? Sorry, we have been recorded, but apologies to the royal family. But you're not going to be treated. You're going to have a tough time. It's a hostile environment. It's tough being a Christian. And, you know, the school children, like Jeff's colleague said, "You know, I worry about my grandchildren, those through school." It's tough growing up these days, isn't it? It's tough being a Christian. You'll be laughed. It's tough at work. It's tough at work when people say, "Oh, why don't you do the things that we get involved in? Why don't you..." It's tough talking to your neighbour. "Why does your God allow this to happen? Why does your God allow things?" There are tough, hostile... They say church is for, like the lifeboat, women and children. It's not for men, it's for women and children. No, it's tough. "I'm sending you out. You'll be treated like lambs amongst wolves. But remember, little lambs, the Lord's my shepherd." We have the shepherd with us, looking after his lambs. Fifth thing to say in verse 4, trust Jesus. Travel light. Travel light. Notice what Jenny, and this is original, I've not read this in the book, it says, "Take no purse or bag or sandals." And I've got, "Take no finance, no food or footwear." How about that? I'd be disappointed if someone says, "I found that in a book." No finance, no money. No bag, that's food, no snap tin. Is that a southern word, snap tin? Do you know what I mean, a snap tin? Yes, you do, good. No packed lunch. No bag with food, and no finance, no food, and no sandals, no footwear. Okay, it's a different culture now than it was then, I know that. But being a missionary means trusting for your finance, for your food sometimes, for your clothes, for your footwear. When God's people came out of Exodus in the wilderness, they had to trust God for their manna, for their daily bread. We need to trust Jesus. You'll be afraid, but trust Jesus. I put a little note, there is time. I'm going to want to break bread in a minute, but when we were in the 60s and 70s in Bible college, we had to go out on mission. I'm talking about knocking doors now. And I was sent with a team to a place called Immingham. I don't know if you've heard of Immingham. It's on the, I don't know where it is, near Hull. A new town. Lots of oil. Big posh house. And I'm talking posh houses. Big houses with pillars and, you know, garages bigger than bungalows, great big places. And I remember, because we were just sort of teenagers and teens and 20s going, and this big long drive, and I'm walking on Mercedes cars and everything, and I'm walking, and I prayed. Verse 2 says pray, verse 3 says go and pray. And as I went up that drive, I prayed, and I tell you, I prayed like I've never prayed. I said, "Lord, please let them be out." Let them be out. Sixthly, if you like, stay focused. Stay focused. Verse 4, what does verse 4 say? It says, "Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. That's a bit rude, isn't it? Don't greet anybody. That seems a bit harsh. Well, we have to understand it's a different culture, and Oriental etiquette is, I mean, it meant when you greet somebody back then, it was a long, drawn-out process. It was, it wasn't a case of saying, shalom, my friend. You know, like when you're in the supermarket and you've got some frozen fish fingers in your doings and you see somebody and you think, oh, the last person I want to see, these fish fingers are going to be defrosted. So we've all done it. You sneak down another aisle and guess what happened? Yeah, we've all done it, haven't we? For those listening to the recording, everybody's nodding on this one. It's not just my family. It's not, and they say, oh, I thought it was you. I thought I saw you by the kitchen rolls. But you have to say, I'm sorry, my fish fingers are going to be defrosted. I'll have to. You're not being rude. You're being, and this is what Jesus is saying. Don't get excited, because there are lots of things to talk about, isn't there? Oh, Iran, Iraq, President Trump, Putin. There's lots of things that we can get, lots of legitimate things. Stay focused on the harvest. Stay focused on... And another surprise. Again, it's a different etiquette, but in verse 7, it says, stay, eat and drink whatever they give you. When you go, their etiquette was such that hospitality was part, you know, they would welcome you in. And if you're in somebody's house, don't... if you eat tomatoes and they give you reflux, that's quite legitimate. I'm sorry, I don't eat tomatoes. But what it's saying, or so the books are telling us, the different etiquette is, don't be concerned about ceremonial food laws. Don't go into somebody's house and start criticising, oh, you shouldn't buy that newspaper. Oh, you shouldn't be watching that on television. Oh, you shouldn't be reading those kind of books. Back then, you know, this is food offered to idols. No, he says, don't get sidetracked. Different culture. Stay focused on the mission. Don't say that's ceremonially unclean. I can't have. I have put a little note here because it shocked me many years ago, 40 odd years ago. Oh no, if I'm only 30, it can't be. A few years ago, in Barry, Bethel Baptist Church in Barry, South Wales, and the minister, well, one of the deacons there, Howard Jones, he's there, I went to Howard's funeral 20 years ago, but Howard, and when I say somebody was a hard man, I mean he was a hard line, thou shalt not, and, you know, if you tied your shoelace on a Sunday, that was, pray for you, you know, his minister was even harder. Hard-lined. But they had a heart for God, and they went in Barry, in the docks, because the Russian tankers would come in, and there's a mission field coming to us, and so they went down to the docks regularly. And Howard was telling us, actually not just a personal conversation, that they went on one occasion, and it was a Russian tanker was in there. I've spoken Welsh this morning, I'll speak Russian. You come. Borisovsky or whatever he was called, Ofsky, they always had ski on the end of this Russian. And they went to see the captain, this Russian man. Ah, you have vodka. You have vodka. Is that vodka? Is that a good colour? Well, you imagine, somebody was a hardliner. Thou shalt not. And Howard had never had I don't think I've ever had a vodka either, but Howard hadn't had vodka, and the minister certainly had a vodka. What do they do? What do they do? That's a dilemma, isn't it? Who shouted out, just drink it anyway? I mean, do you say, oh, I tell you what they did do, and it made them cough and splutter. But they just went for it. They just went for it, and... I think that's what... My next point is don't worry about failing, but I am worried that I've just failed with that illustration. You know, because you might think, oh, Alan's told us it's on record now, recording, to go out and buy a bottle of... No, I haven't told you to go out and buy a bottle of vodka. I'm saying I may have failed with that illustration, but you will fail. you will fail. When you go out and invite people, they might say, oh, yeah, we'll be there, and they won't. They won't. You will fail. Jesus told a parable about a sower who went out spreading the seed, the good news, and it got eaten by the birds, it got trodden underfoot, it got choked by the 25. Well, I'd be happy with a 25% success rate, but you know, you will fail. In fact, verse 10 says, when you go and are not welcomed, some people will reject you. No matter how nice the brochures are, the invites that we give, they'll be in the dustbin. They'll be in the... Jesus himself was rejected. Follow the pattern of Jesus. Verse 8 and 9, heal the sick and preach the kingdom. Well, tell them of God's kingdom. Heal the sick. Well, that's what Jesus did. He healed the sick. That's not... But we can help people. We might not be able to heal them, but we can help them. When we see a need, we can respond. We can feed the hungry. We can clothe the naked, if you like. We can comfort the hurting. Next week is the Good Samaritan. There's a little idea. You'll get it written down. We can help folk where they are. And we can back it up with our words. The kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did. He healed, he helped people, and he backed it up with his words. When doing this in Jesus' name. Then finally, with this, I am going to close. Rejoice, not in your success. You will feel good, I'll tell you that. You will feel good by, even if you're rejected, you'll feel good by giving a little witness for Jesus. But I'm pointing out, I'm talking about door to door, but even next door neighbour, it makes you feel good, but rejoice more that you personally are saved, that you know what you're talking about. Rejoice, what does it say in verse 7? The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons were subject to us, submitted to us in your name. Lord, we had a successful time. It was, I had a preacher years ago, and he was talking about fishing. And he said, not crude terminology, but he says, he was trying to explain the thrill, and he said, it's better felt than telt. It's better to feel it, to experience it, than to talk about it. It's better felt than telt. Well, witnessing is something that's better felt than me talking about it. At the end of the day, whether we're successful or not, what matters is that we answer that Jesus was successful in his death, in his resurrection, in bringing salvation to earth, and writing our names in heaven. So let us not, Galatians 6 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we do not faint, if we do not give up. The harvest is ready. Go out, find a few sinners out there and have a practice, and you tell them of what great things the Lord has done. Let's sing a song, a hymn to number 229, and then we'll break bread together.